Once again, I'd like to thank you, all of you, and all those who are watching us over the live streaming. I would like to welcome to each of you. This is my first time that I take over in the morning service, and I'm really nervous. And I'd like to tell you guys to pray for me because there's a full house, and how, that is a blessing from God. You know, you might think that you have made this decision but to be here, but God has a lot to do, and He's in charge of our lives of every day. And God has touched you, has touched your heart to be here today. So, you know, sometimes we like, in a human task, well, I made that decision. I decide to go here and to go there. But you know what? I think we're wrong. God guide us in our life. And God teach us one way or another. It teaches us the wrongs and teach us our rights and the things to do. Like I just said right now, my brother has a lot of work to do. And for the next, I don't know, 18 years, he has a big responsibility ahead of him. And my sermon today is something, it's a tip, topic that maybe a lot of us don't like to hear. And I'm going to try to read since we, it's almost 30 minutes. Might be a sermon, like my brother said here. So I'm going to try to cover as much as I can. We're going to open our Bible to the book of Genesis. Those who like to follow, we're going to open on chapter 3. And now the serpent was more subtle that I searched the word because I cannot even pronounce it maybe, clever, than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said that you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman say unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God say, you should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Here we can see that from the beginning, Satan was trying to bring us down. This is how sin begins. This is how sin enters into the world. Apparently, when the woman was just walking around, blameless, I don't know. I guess the animals in those days were able to communicate with them somehow. We don't know. I don't know how that happened. But I understand that the only work that our forefather Adam had is to name them. That was one of the commandments of God or work they gave him to do when he was in the garden. To name all the animals. Other than that, they didn't even realize they were committing sin when the woman listened to what the serpent said. In Genesis 3:4, it says, and the serpent saying to the woman, you should not surely die. But you should be like God. This is where we find out that the devil lies to us. If he lied to our forefathers then, how much lies did he throw us in our life these days? We got to be careful. We live in a world that is full of evil. 2 Nephi chapter 12, verse 23 all the way to 27, I'm going to read. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must need to be stirred up into repentance. Or the devil will grasp them, hold them, grab into them, and have dominion of them. With this everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. You know, one of the things that yesterday we had the opportunity to be part of my brother Ishmael, who has completed a whole year without having one drop of alcohol. And I want to praise God, and I want to praise thanks to all of you for keeping him in your thoughts and in your prayers, because God does listen to us. He hears those who cry to him, those who come to him in his name. He does listen to us, and we have seen it in our people, in our church, all the blessings that we have get from him as we come and lay our burdens to him. And my brother Ishmael has accomplished that year. And I pray, and I continue praying, I continue asking you guys to continue keeping him in your prayers. But that's how the devil works these days. He rasps you around with this little thread that you can break, you can split, no problem. That's what you say, hey, I'm in control of this, I can do this, I can, you know, I'm in control, I know when to stop, and okay, but those little threads can change, can turn into chains of heavy metal that when you think you want to quit, you won't be able, because that's how the devil works. He wrap you around and around and around until you will not be able to escape. For behold, at that day shall he reign in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will be pacified, and lure them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yay? Zion prosper, all is well. Pacify, I kind of search what is pacifier. And it's a pacifier, that's what you put in the baby's mouth. A pacifier. I didn't know what it was. And so here you are with this. This is how he works. He makes you feel comfortable. He makes you feel great. He makes you feel everything is good. You have money. You have cars, 4x4 wheels, a lot of business. Yes, all is well in Zion. But that's how he foolish us with carnal security, like it says right here, with carnal stuff, with the things of this world. Remember, brothers and sisters, that we are aliens. We are alienating. That's how they called us, those who are not from the United States. But we're just passing through. That this force on you, this force on me, we are not from this world. We are not from this world. And so what waits for us in front of us, or I should say, what's coming in the future, what's coming after this life, it might be better than this. It might be better than this. Maybe we might even have a golf course in heaven. You know, we think that what we have here is the best, and we have everything, and this cannot, you know, all this materialism. There's something better up there for us than this. Christ said it. I'm going to make room for you in my Father's kingdom. That is a very, that promise is, I don't know how even how to explain it. That before he went to his Father, he left us that peace of mind. You be with me where I am. And thus the devil cheat their souls and lead them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flatter them away and tell them there is no hell. And he saying to them, I am no devil, for this is none. And he continues lying into us. You know, yesterday I got the opportunity to say some words to this little group that my brother goes to, and they have this frame, this picture in the wall, with this guy holding down with these thick chains around him. And that's what it is, and that's how he wants us. That's how he wants to see us, down in the ground, miserable, with those heavy chains that you won't be able to break by yourself. But there is a God next to you, waiting for you. A lot of people say, well, you know, this is he's been promising since the beginning he will be here and he hasn't come back. But he has so much mercy, so much love. It's not how you see it. Let's remember that for him, for us, actually, 1 year for him is 10 years. And for us, 10 years for him is 1,000 years. So he's not delaying. He's giving you an opportunity and a chance for you to come to him. He's not delaying. Every day we have, every day that we are able to get up and breathe, that's a chance for you to come to him, to know about him. In John 8:44, when Jesus was in Jerusalem, he was persecuted a lot of times. But because it was not his time yet, he will always escape. Here in 8:44, in John 8:44, it says, ye are of your father the devil, and the last of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speak a lie, he speak of his own, for he is a liar, and he's the father of all the lies. Jesus warned us about those things. So let not this materialism of this world foolish you, because as naked we came to this world, we will go back with nothing of us. So, I don't know where I heard it from. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Genesis 3:5. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and dared eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he dared eat. Of course, she didn't want to go by herself. She liked to share it. She shared it with her husband. I have another comment about that. Gen 3:7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sew fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This is what sin is. You are naked. We are naked. And you don't even know. You think you have everything because we are blind. We are blind by money. We are blind by all those things that this world offers, has to offer for you. Have you guys seen those leaves, those fig leaves? They're not that big, right? They're not that big. They sew fig leaves to cover themselves. Just the front. Just the front of them. Aprons. We wear them when we do any fun activity in the church that we had to cook or serve others. Brother Andy wears his apron, right? But they only covers you the front, right? You turn around and your rear is naked. Well, not really naked, but you know, it only covers the front of you. That is, you think that we are covered. You think there's nothing is wrong. But really, God knows everything. God knows the things that you do. I like what Brother Heber says all the time. He knows what your thoughts are right now, as you're sitting right there in the chair. He knows you. He knows you. He can read your mind. He can read your heart. He knows what's in your heart. Jesus says in Revelation 3:17 to 18. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, train the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of their nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou may see it. This is the words of God. This is the word of Christ. He says, you think you have everything. You think that because you're rich, you'd have no need of nothing. But you haven't realized that you are naked. In my eyes, you are naked. So, covering only the front of us is not enough. been sitting here in those benches, those are the leaves of the figs. Let's give it a good thought, brothers and sisters. Being here is not enough. If you haven't made the decision to follow Christ, we need to be covered, front and back. Not just the front, but we need to cover our whole selves. In Ezekiel 8, chapter 8, 1 to 4, it talks about these elders of Israel who came to hear the words of Ezekiel, standing right in front of him, sitting, probably even crossing their legs and their arms, pretending they're paying really good attention to what Ezekiel has to say. But God showed him in the spirit. God showed Ezekiel what those guys in front of him were doing. They were doing things that you don't even want to know. And to make it worse, in the temple, they were doing things they were so against about what God commanded them. It says, and it came to pass in the sixth year, the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. So we see these elders of the temple of God pretending to be a true followers, but in their hearts, they were sinners. They were committing sin. And verse 4 says that the Spirit was present in the reunion. So when he is present, he can see sin. He can see you right now. For God's sin is not little or big. It's not a little lie or killing somebody. A sin is a sin to God, no matter how small it is. Let's not cover just the front, but the whole body. In Genesis 3:8, we go back to Genesis. I guess you can keep your finger in Genesis chapter 3. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid himself from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God calling to Adam and saying to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard a voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You can hide as much as you want. You can hide in that sin, but God will find you. God will see you. No matter how secret you want to keep it, like these elders of Judah, pretending to be like santos, like saints, when there was sin behind them. Verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I command thee that thou shalt not eat? And the man said, the woman who thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat it. There you go. Are we blaming each other? The woman who you give me to eat, and here I am, so obedient, I take it, and I eat it. First of all, you know, in those days, I don't know how that worked, but we always blame somebody. And I'm sorry, but in this case, we blame our wife, the woman. And when you get married, Yes, we do share. We do share responsibilities. It's 50-50 according I don't know to who, but that's what they say, it's 50-50. It should be 100. I think it should be 100. But we all have part of this life. Is we always, we involve, we together, we're supposed to help each other. But, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. That's telling me that we have the authority in our home. We say what it goes. I don't know. These days it's hard to say. Sometimes we have to listen to the woman, to our wives. We have to listen to them because as men, we never make pretty good decisions. We always make mistakes. In 1 Corinthians 11:3-16, it says, "But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." That's pretty good the way it's put it here. There's always somebody above us, but in my house, I'm the head. And we have discussions, but we try to do and follow Christ, God's love. We cannot always be the ones who make decisions. Like I said, we as men, we make wrong decisions. They sometimes lead us to trouble. But the wife is always right there next to you and telling you, don't do it. Or this is how it's supposed to be done. That's how it is. And that's why in Ephesians 5:25, God says, husbands, love your wives. There's another scripture that says that we need to treat our wives as the fine, most precious piece of jewelry, but the most expensive one. Without our wives, our lives can be pretty miserable. In Genesis 3:14, we continue on what this father allies continue doing to our forefathers. We need to hear and learn from them. Genesis 3:14 says, "And the Lord God saying to the serpent, because thou hast done this, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrows of thy conception, and sorrows thou shalt bring forth children. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. I curse the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it of the days of your life." Well, thanks to our fathers from the beginning, we had to work hard now. But that's okay. There's another scripture too there, because our hard work, we have joy too. We can enjoy the fruits of your sweat. So because God saw that they were naked, and he knew that he cannot send them out after they have break that commandment that he told them not to eat from the tree, kick them out of the garden. It's like, you cannot be walking around like that. So he made them full coats of skin to cover themselves. And he dressed them because they were half dressed. So how can we be safe from this sin that from the beginning has been around us? Sin, it is bad. And if you keep sin inside of you, your life is miserable. My nephew Alex and my nephew Alan yesterday, they say some words, and I was so surprised and I'm so proud of them. They went to the podium in the little group and stand before all of us, and they say some words that maybe it was a really heavy load in their lives, and they got to release it right there. And I'm pretty sure they have a really good sleep last night. Sin in our lives can do the same thing. Let's read Matthew 26:39. It says, it's talking about our Lord when before he was arrested in the garden. I forgot the name of the garden, but he went with some other disciples, and he went to pray because he was going through a really difficult time. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Matthew 26:42, it says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Wow. Is this what you want me to do for them? Christ knew the plan already, what he was going through. But he still went to his Father and said, "Is this what you want me to do for them?" God saw those elders in the book of Ezekiel, that they show interesting to hear and to follow him as he commanded them. But even that, in his back, they will do these things. And that's why he said, "No more sacrifice. I'm sick of it. You guys don't listen." In Deuteronomy, he said, "I'm mad. I want to destroy you again. Because no matter what I do, you decide to go other way." But Moses remind him, "Remember the promise that you make to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, that you will not destroy them again as you did when you flood the earth." Why did he flood the earth? Because sin. Because with so much sin. He could do something like that right now too. But because he has love for us, he has not. And that's why Christ was saying, "Is this what you want me to do?" There is no other way. It has to be one final sacrifice. And after that, it's all up to you. You and me. You make the choice. This is the only way. When Abraham was about to sacrifice his only son, he prophesied right there and said, "God will provide the lamb." Who was the lamb? Jesus knew what was coming to him. In Genesis 22:8 says, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And he has kept his promise for us. In John 3:16, it's a famous scripture that you can see everywhere. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It's up to you and me, brothers. And that is why Christ hung on the cross for our sins. He conquered death. He conquered sin. So no matter how big that sin you have in you, God will make it light for you. Because Christ already paid for you with his blood. He shared it for you. We are nothing here. We are no one. We need to humble ourselves and come to acknowledge that we are not worthy to be called his children. 2 Kings 6, chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. 2 Kings. "And the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, 'Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, muy reducido, very small. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell.' And he answered, 'Go ye.' And one said, 'Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.'" So he went. He went with them. This is Elijah. And when they come to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was filling a beam, the axe head fell in the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, alas." What is alas? It's a sorrow, grief, pity, concern, evil, I don't know. "Master, for it was barrel." And the man of God said, where it fell. And he showed him the place. He cut down the stake and cast it into a dither. No, that's not right. And the iron there swim. The iron swim. You know how heavy those ox hairs are? They weigh like, I don't know, 20 pounds. I don't know how big they are. They're pretty heavy. It felt in the river, in the water, lake, I don't know where it was, the River Jordan. And it happens when you borrow something. That's why I don't like to borrow anything. Because either broke, I lose it, or I didn't know what I did with it, and there you go. I have to not explain what happened to whatever I borrowed. The same thing happened to this guy. He borrowed this thing, and he was worried about, what am I going to do now? I don't know how much that axe, it was worth it in those days. I'm pretty sure it was a really good tool to have in those days because, you know, you made everything by wood. But here, Elijah cut this little stick, put it right where the axe was for, and it floated like a leaf, like a tree leaf. This is how our sin is. Our sin can be pretty heavy in this world. This is how heavy it is. But Christ, they have love for you. He can make that sin, no matter how heavy it is, he can make it flow He can make it so light for you and me. That's pretty awesome. Brother Adam preached the other day about how heavy sin can be. Just like a pencil. He put one of the kids to hold a pen. A pen is not heavy. But if you keep it right there for a while, that arm is going to go down. That pen is going to start to get heavy. That's what sin is. It's heavy in our souls, in our bodies. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isaiah 55:1-3, it talks about we have this opportunity to come to Christ with no money. The gospel, salvation, is free. You don't have to pay anything. It's free for you. It's free for me. It's free for whoever. Because that price, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ paid for it in the cross. Brothers and sisters, today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day. Let's keep in mind that every day that we have is a blessing. It's a blessing that God give us that chance to breathe again. So because this gospel that we have, a salvation, is free. You don't need no money. Peter told this person in the book of Acts. He said, this guy, I think, what was his name? I forgot. He was baptizing people without being called for him to do those things. And when he saw Peter and somebody else was with Peter doing the laying hands to give of the Spirit, he's like, "Hey, I want to do that. I want to buy it. I have money. I can buy that power. Give me that power so I can do the same thing you're doing." Peter said to him, "The money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." There's no money. There's no money needed. Today, I invite you to come to know about God and what He has prepared for you. I want to leave you with what last two scriptures. I'm sorry, I take too long. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then I will hear them from heaven and I forgive their sins and I will heal their land." And another scripture says, "Submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Call upon God and stay away from what this world offers you, that we all know that is from the enemy, to lead you in the wrong path. This is the faith against which the prophet Isaiah warned us in his book. And the salvation he offers is personal interest in the new covenant or membership in the kingdom of God. To this, they are freely invited with the insurance that they shall find the satisfaction and blessedness that this world can never give you. Only Christ give you salvation, and it's free. I thank you so much for your time and your patience. And I pray and hope that this message was a blessing for you this day. Thanks.